Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. All right, Tiffany wants to talk about something, but she doesn't want to name the person. So tell me about your unnamed person.
Hi. So the unnamed person is my friend's boyfriend. She actually told me the other day that she couldn't stay the night at his house because his 12-year-old daughter has to sleep with him. And I thought that was extremely weird. And she did too, but he got offended when she called him out on it. And they kind of broke up.
Oh.
Over the daughter.
Over the daughter sleeping in his bed with him.
Right. Like a teddy bear.
It's weird. She's 12. Like, I can get it. She's like a kid, but like, she's almost a teenager. Because like, he got really offended and he was like, you know what, this isn't going to work out. And broke up with her. And she was like, am I overreacting? And I'm like, I don't think you are. Like, I think that's weird.
How long were they going out?
Well, they've known each other since they were kids, but they recently started dating 6 months ago.
They've been dating for 6 months? This is the first time she's asked to sleep over his house?
No, he doesn't always get his kids.
Ow.
And so this is the first time that the kids stayed the night, I guess, since they've been together. And she like was going through something at her house and she needed to stay with him. And he was like, sorry, you can't. My daughter's going to sleep in my bed with me.
That's weird.
Picking your daughter over your date, your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to figure out if that's real, because that is the worst thing to say. Where you could just say, my daughter's coming over and I don't want her to see me with another woman.
See, that's a much better way to go.
Or does he have a girlfriend coming over?
They've grown up together. So his daughter actually already knows her. And that's why I'm like, I think it is the true reason, because she already has met her. Like, they've hung out.
Okay. I feel like 12 is way too old.
Yes.
Too old.
And then, but his response to her when she called him out about it, which is what got me. I don't even know how she would ever want to date him again, because she still wants to be with him after this. He said, F you, don't speak to me.
That's a little rough.
A little defensive.
Like, all
right?
This is one red flag after another. This can't be the first set of red flags she's encountered in 6 months, but holy crap.
Yep.
Weird.
And then I feel bad for my friend, because she thinks she's overreacting, because she, the unnamed person, is also bipolar. So like, she thinks she's overreacting. Like, is it me being bipolar? Like, I don't know. And I'm like, no, like, he shouldn't, like, he is wrong. Like, he shouldn't be getting mad at you for calling him out for having his 12-year-old daughter sleep in the bed with him.
All right. So in the end, your unnamed person is which one? Your friend or the boyfriend?
The friend.
The friend. And your unnamed person should know what?
No, okay, so the unnamed, well, both of them I'm unnaming.
Gotcha.
Yes, I realize
that.
The
unnamed person is my friend that's dating the unnamed guy.
And she needs to know.
She needs to know that it's not okay, that it is wrong.
That's weird.
Right.
It's weird. Because she got mad at me when I called her out about it. Not called her out, but asked someone else's opinion. And she's like, don't tell people that. And so,
yeah, I got you.
I guess it would be maybe her as the unnamed person. I don't know.
So
I just know that
the unnamed,
what her boyfriend did is weird.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
So your unnamed person needs to know that it's not okay for your boyfriend to sleep with his 12-year-old daughter and then get really angry when called out about it.
Exactly.
Bingo.
Works for me.
All right. Thank you, Tiffany.
You're welcome.
There's a lightning storm or a bad movie or something, and you're having a nightmare.
Right.
Right?
But yeah.
At what age do you stop sleeping with mom and dad?
Right.
You know, Chaz and AJ, PLR. Is this Peggy? Peggy in Naugatuck?
Hi. I think you're all being way too judgmental here, because I want to hear his side of it. Like, is he in one bedroom, and did he say, my daughter sleeps in the bed, and she cut him off and didn't let him say, can I stay in the living room? Or, you know, because some people are some people are just broken. They can't have two bedrooms or something. So I'd like to hear the guy's side of it.
I think basically the way it stood was that she was sleeping in the same bed with him.
Oh, yeah.
That's the reason why the girlfriend can come over.
So it's funny because I just got to...
But I'm just saying, was that really what was said? Because sometimes women are a little hysterical. Like, I'm a woman, but I wouldn't judge that quickly. No, I think we're way too judgmental. And sleeping in a bed... people have family beds now where they all the people sleep in one king size bed.
And the Waltons?
There's no hanky panky or nothing.
No. I get that. I get that.
I don't think there's nothing creepy about it all. I think it's more creepy that we jump on the man and accuse him nowadays. I mean, this poor guy's probably going to get accused, and he'll have DCF on him now. And you know, people are just too hard on people.
Okay, but
I don't go creepy right away on it.
Okay, so it doesn't sound weird to you that he tells his girlfriend not to come over because his 12-year-old will be sleeping in bed with him.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Only because I'm not creepy. I don't go, bed, sex. Oh, he's molesting or whatever. You know,
all right.
It makes me crazy.
No, you make a point because you make a point, and I'll tell you why you make a point. Because if I see an adult kissing his almost adult daughter on a male adult kissing his. A dad kissing his daughter on the lips.
So Belichick, mean?
Me speak much well.
Bill Belichick, yes.
Yeah. Right, like the Bill Belichick kiss made me like go, ugh.
That was gross.
No, but that doesn't bother me either because I kissed my guy cousins on the lips. That's
wait, what?
We are.
Wait, what?
I kissed my guy cousins on the lips, but that's just how my family is. Nothing sexual, nothing bull about it.
All right.
Just, you know. So I just think everyone's too judgmental now.
All right. Well, let's not say everyone. Let's just say the people who have been chiming in here, meaning me, AJ, Ashley, and Dave, who called it.
The Dave.
AJ, I'm so glad you made the decision not to have children. That is so brilliant because so many people have kids and they don't want them and then they mistreat them. Good for you, AJ.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right.
Get these things out of here.
Get these things out.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Phil. You dance a lemon, guy.
Thank you.
Robin in Plantsville.
Hi.
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 I just want to say I agree with Chaz and AJ that the father should not be sleeping with the daughter.
That's weird.
Completely wrong.
Now, I know what Peggy's saying.
Yeah, right. I don't agree with her.
Some people look at things differently, but
absolutely. And
if I'm sending my 12-year-old daughter to that house and I hear that, I'm like,
it's a sleepover situation,
right?
Yes.
It's we're busy for the next 5 years,
right.
Maybe 10.
Sorry,
child, when they're children, not an infant, so it's the same thing.
Mm. I think about how do you find out what's going on at someone's house when you have the kids going over for a sleepover? Like, you can't ask that question.
No.
So what goes on over there? Does the dad sleep with the daughter? And is there 11-year-old thumb sucking going on?
What's the seating arrangements going on?
You know, I want to know all this stuff. Yeah. But you can't send the questionnaire. Okay. All right. Before I say you could sleep over. Let me send over this questionnaire.
Fill these forms out.
Have the parents fill it out. Sign it with a witness.
Do it online.
I'm on a notary and bring it back. I'll take a look and then we'll decide.
Right. Like application.
Yeah. You don't know if any of this stuff's going on.
No.
You know?
No.
So you find out through like conversation. It's like, wait. What did you just say? You guys slept in the bed with the dad?
And you do
what? Yeah. Today is the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, August 15th through August 18th, 1969. On the show with us now is someone who was there but has an unusual story about how he got there. Don DeVore, former U.S. Army, served in Vietnam. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Appreciate that, guys.
Bring us back to August of 1969.
Again, I was drafted in the Army, was in Vietnam. My wife at the time at her home was pregnant and was due in July sometime. They anticipated a problematic delivery that, you know, there might be complications. So around that time, I was notified through the Red Cross, who got a hold of the Army, and then my commanding officer in the field. And I was going to be granted leave to go home for this event. At the time, my wife was living with her family, her parents, in Monticello, New York, which is very near the site of the Woodstock Rock Festival. So I got home. The delivery went fine, so everything was good. There's no problem. I had a very healthy baby born named Stephanie. I wasn't particularly paying attention to the news or anything like that. So I got in our car one day, and I was going to travel somewhere. Just as I was getting out of the town of Monticello, I noticed this incredible traffic. So I, you know, turned around, went back to the house, and, you know, we listened to the news, and it was reported what was going on. So a little later on that day, or maybe it was the next day, I can't remember, I think it was probably that second day, I called some friends, and they came over, and we took a ride. If you knew the back roads in that area, you could drive and get pretty close to the site. So we did that, and yeah, we went to Woodstock, caught a few acts that day, and I think the next day, and it was amazing. I guess I was the only person there with a buzz haircut.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, everybody had the opposite.
Yeah, you were the polar opposite of everybody else.
All right, yeah, so you have the Army crew cut, and you're at Woodstock, like hippie fest. Did people think you were a narc or with the police,
the establishment?
No, I don't think so. People paid very little attention to me. And I did stand out because I had clean, dry clothing on. My friends and I.
Yeah, everybody else is muddy and moist. Yeah.
Right. I had the short hair, and although my friends didn't have the short hair, so it was amazing. On one of those days, as I recall, my father-in-law had a friend who had a small airplane at a local airport. And so we went and saw him and got in the airplane, and we flew over it. Circle it a couple of times, and from the air like that, it was just, you know, it's hard to describe, but it was great, immense. And yeah, I had never seen or heard of anything like that. I guess nobody had. And just so I don't forget, I gotta throw in my two bits here. The Who, that was the best act I saw. They were just incredible.
I was gonna ask you, who did you see?
Saw The Who. Saw a lot of bands. I trying to remember the ones that stand out. Certainly The Who. Gosh, Joe Cocker.
Joe Cocker.
Wow.
It's one of the most memorable performances from Woodstock.
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
So you were there for how long? 2 days? 1 day?
I think we went over there twice, and it didn't stay terribly long. You know, didn't want to spend the entire night there, so we just walked back to our car and drive back,
oh,
and
that's
came
fun,
back
then.
The next day.
How close to the stage you get?
We never tried to get up to the stage. I mean, we got close enough where you know, we could see well, but that area right in front of the stage was just continuously mobbed as long as somebody was performing. I mean, you could have, you know, you could wiggle your way through and get up there, but and we did when The Who was there. We got a little closer, but it was just too much trouble to get it to the front. And you know what? It was dirty and smelly. It was almost as bad.
It was Woodstock.
Right before The Who was Sly and the Family Stone. Do you remember any of that?
Oh, gee. Sly and the Family Stone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. It's 50 years ago, and my recollection is getting... It's getting a little worse every year that goes by.
That was a smoke in the air at the same time, too. So.
Well, I was going to say, I'll tell you why he might not remember. Is Sly and the Family Stone were on at 3:30 in the morning.
Oh.
So The Who come on at 5 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Well, they were younger then.
Do you remember any of The Who songs stick out to you?
You know, they played just about all of them that I cared for and liked. But the one thing I remember the most was... Roger Daltrey does this thing with a microphone.
Yeah,
which swinging it around. Everything was corded back then. There were no, you know, cordless mics or anything like that. And that just was amazing. You know, I mean, he didn't screw that up once. And that microphone could have killed somebody, I think, if it ever broke loose or anything. And
he would fling it up so high into the light, you wouldn't see it anymore. It's in the light rafter. And you're
right.
Like, that's going to come down and just take his head right off.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. I think the field they were on, I think somebody told me was an alfalfa field. It's either alfalfa or timothy, and I think there are two types of grass that farmers grow for hay.
There was three, actually, at that time.
Yeah, and it got trampled down, and then it had rained at that point. And the odor was just, you know, I don't know. Vietnam smelled pretty bad, but I'll tell you, Max Yadkus' farm, I think, smelled a little worse.
Wow.
It almost took your breath away as you got closer.
It was sewage meets body odor.
Yeah, and a lot of other things. A lot of other chemicals were floating around.
Right. When you actually want to go back to Vietnam for the smell, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Going back to Vietnam was the hardest thing I ever did in my life, after all that.
Yeah, no.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I get teased a great deal by friends who are veteran friends who also served in Vietnam, and they just bust my chops about, you know, what'd you do in the war, Daddy? He said, well, I went to Woodstock. You know,
special assignment, though.
It would be interesting if your pals were, you know, over at Vietnam. I know they didn't have TV over there, but they're like watching some footage of an American concert that happened. And it's like, hey, wait a minute.
Wait.
Is that Don?
Right. Check
He's supposed
bunk.
To be like helping his wife have a baby or something.
Something
like
that.
Yeah. And there I am out in the.
Yeah.
You couldn't pass it up. We were so close.
It's right there.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
That's great.
Don, thanks again for your service. Thanks for coming on and sharing that story.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anything for Art Wicknick. He's a good man, a good friend.
Yes, he is.
We love that guy.
Yep.
Good people. Thank you, brother.
You bet. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay. The Woodstock stories I've heard, I never heard anyone reference the smell before.
No. Kind of takes you, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. You don't think about that, but they didn't have like a million porta potties.
No.
There was nowhere to go. And it got muddy.
Exactly.
That mud wasn't all from rain, I guess.
Sure got hot.
Yeah.
Yep. No deodorant. So. Wonder Years.
The world's most famous rock concert. 50 years ago today. Bob and East Hartford, you were there for every day?
Yes, I was, sir.
And how much of it do you remember?
I remember every bit of it. It was the most amazing event I ever saw in my life and probably will ever see.
And, you know, now it has all of this oomph, but back then it was a festival out in the woods, right?
Yes. And it was a beautiful place, but getting to it was quite a fiasco. My cousin called me $24 in advance. I had an Austin Healey with no roof. And he had a TR3 with no roof.
Yeah.
And there were four of us. We jumped in the cars and left the yard. My left front wheel fell off the car. We backed it in the driveway, put it together in about 20 minutes with new bolts, and took off. And I took the tonneau cover because it was raining on the way down. And I snapped it on the top of the windshield. And we got within 9 miles of the concert. I drove it up a bank, opened the door, and the car slid on the mud. And I the banged in one of the doors on the car. It was a powder blue one. It's actually in the movie. It was a great time, a great event.
Your car made the movie?
Pardon me?
Did you say your car was in the movie?
Yes.
What is it like a shot of all the cars just looking like Armageddon?
Yeah, you know, it would. I never saw it. You know, the ribbons of people going over the hills, it was all hills and dales.
Yeah.
Traveling to this concert was just an amazing sight. It looked like they were like 100-foot wide ribbons of people just coming over the hills and dales, heading for this concert. It was the most amazing thing we've ever seen. And we walked the 9 miles in, and it was just wonderful. It's just, people had stands set up with all timber frame stuff, you know, and they were selling pot and acid and you name it. It was up for sale.
Clothing, how about food?
Leather.
Any food?
I forgot that part.
It was just amazing. And we went in, and just as we were getting there, we went without tickets. And everybody was pushing the fence down. So we were one of the people the four of us were pushing with the fence, too. We got it down. We walked into the concert, and we spent the 3 days there. And I did at one point walk
now,
back.
Can I go back to the fence? Can I go back to the fence thing for a second? The fence wasn't really something that needed a lot of pressure to fall over, right? It was one of those.
No, it was a portable, you know.
Yeah, it was one of those sticks and metal twine.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, we can't go past this part. Yeah.
Yeah. So it didn't take a lot to push the fence over, but I just wanted to have a visual.
No, it didn't, sir.
Okay.
Like 300 people pushing on it went down like a toothpick. It was nothing.
Okay.
And everybody just walked across it in the mud, and it just kind of disappeared into the mud as everybody walked across it. And then we went in, and people were just wonderful, and I just parked on. I had a camouflage coat, and I put it on the ground, and that's what I sat, and we brought no food, no water, no nothing. And we were actually about 15 feet from the water slide, from the water tanker at the top, where everybody was sliding down the hill in the mud.
Yeah.
And we were right next to that watching that happen.
You were like the Forrest Gump of that movie. Like every different scene, like, oh, there's my car.
Right.
Oh, there's the water slide.
Yeah, well, actually, I only spotted it once in a movie, but it was there. It was a powder blue one, stood out like a sore thumb.
And
it was so cool. I said, oh, my God, there's my car, and there's the dent they put in it, parking it.
How far into the movie is it? I want to look it up.
It just freaked me out. And something I never forgot, I've told this story a million times.
Freaking coffee.
Still coming down.
And of course I experimented and tried different things.
Just came down to
and him. I took a walk back to the campsite because the guys said, hey, listen, we did get a little food. So I went back to eat something, but I was so high. I walked 9 miles past the car into the next town and a bunch of hippies picked me up and said, you're lost. You lost your car. I said, yeah. They said, well, you know what? It's a town back. So they picked me up.
How would they know your car's a town back?
Yep. And I saw my car in a hill. I said, that's where I am. And they let me out. And I ate something and I walked back to the concert and spent the whole 3 days there. And,
you don't know where your car was, but you know you walked 9 miles too far.
Right.
I did walk right by it. I was just singing and having a good old
time. Hey, I do that at the mall. Right. You know, not a big one to be embarrassed about, I'll tell you that.
Where are my pants?
No, I wasn't at all. I would never.
Let me, because I got an
experience.
Oh, I could talk to you all day.
I saw Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, I saw Joe Cocker. I saw them all.
All right, hold on.
I saw them all.
Right.
Every one of them.
All right, hold on. I want to. I got to pace.
I dropped everything and went to this concert.
My own.
I forgot my camera because it was so quick. And that was the mistake.
How did he hear the show?
I just faded him out.
Wow.
Now we know why he was there for the entire concert, because at the beginning someone said, so how you doing?
Right. Yeah.
You know, yeah. 3 days, 3.5 days later, there's Jimi Hendrix wrapping up.
I think he's still there, actually.
I hate people.
You know what? If someone, great, like someone saw someone do something really
calm
bad.
Calm down.
If someone saw someone do something really bad.
You sound like one of the go-go gophers.
I know. Because I get so incensed about this, but like, if someone,
what did you say?
It would be great if someone, if someone saw like someone doing this and then they beat the crap out of the person.
Oh, wait.
If someone witnessed this and then beat the crap out of the person, then maybe some people is like, you know what? If I tried this, I might get the crap kicked out of me too. I'm sorry, but something's got to be done about this crap. This is ridiculous. Right. You know, they're animals. Okay, so they're not people. But you know what? No one does anything about it. It becomes a story in the news. We go, oh, how horrible. But then nothing is done about it. That's the worst part. The crime is still being committed. And no one's doing anything about it. We need stiffer laws, like at least 10 years in jail.
Or public beatdowns, you're saying.
Public beatdown would be great.
So we see someone do this.
I tell you
something. Drag them out into the middle of the town.
If I see someone abusing an animal outside.
Throw rocks at them.
If I see someone abusing an animal outside, I'm gonna kick the crap out of them right there.
Really?
Yeah. I tossed a rock through someone's window one time years ago. I was working at a Pergamon Home Center in Port Jefferson. We were unloading a truck. We heard a car pull up. It was a station wagon. Station wagon rolls up. The guy opens the back door, throws a dog out, right? Gets in the car, starts driving away. We realize that the dog, he just
dumped the dog. He starts driving away. The dog's running after the car.
Oh,
I grabbed a chunk of concrete that was by the loading dock, and I wailed at the car, meaning just to wail at the car. It went sailing through his back window, the tailgate window, shattered it, blew the whole damn thing out. He slams on the brakes, gets out of the car to be a badass. He didn't know there were six other bigger guys with me at that loading dock that stepped out. He saw us, got in the car, and took off. We ended up taking the dog. One of the guys adopted the dog.
Oh, that's
good
cool.
Job, yeah, AJ.
But it felt so good to wail that big piece of concrete through his window. I'm not a good thrower.
I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying, but you sound crazy right now. I'm just saying that.
I realize that, and thank you.
Yeah,
but
I mean, you're loud and angry, and
but you know, I'm not a thrower by any means. But for some reason,
you're not.
I tossed that thing like Tom friggin' Brady, man. I wailed it. I mean, the satisfaction of seeing that back window blow the hell out.
Right.
And all the glass went in the car because it was, you know, heading that direction.
Right.
Was the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
And even better feeling when he got out to kick my ass and there were a bunch of guys
right,
behind
and then
him.
And he had backup.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would have been a whole nother story.
That would have sucked, yes.
Yeah. Like, I'll show it.
Right.
Then he gets out and then beats the crap out of you.
Everyone else goes to lunch. Yeah. The dog's looking at my bloody face.
No. Then the dog comes over and pees on you.
Right.
That would be not as good as your story.
No, we're not. No, we're not bragging about that part.
No.
Probably keep it quiet.
Ashley and Meriden.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
I was grocery shopping in Meriden at a Stop and Shop, at a big Stop and Shop, and I heard a dog barking, like uncontrollably barking. So I'm looking around the parking lot, and I finally see the car. Well, it was a truck. It was a blue truck. It was parked in the back of the parking lot with a dog trying to get its head out of the window. So I pulled over. I took a picture of the license plate and the dog in the car, and I put it on my community forum on Facebook. The whole town shamed me, and I was removed from that forum.
What?
Shamed you?
Posting that dog. They have a Chaz and AJ bumper sticker. I have screenshots of the admin telling me,
So the dog has head stuck.
So I love seeing those. Hold on, Ashley. There's a lot here. Hold on.
Yeah.
I love when I see those bumper stickers, but when they're on a vehicle that's involved in a crime or something bad, I'm like, oh, not great. Not a great look.
Right. No.
It's absolutely horrible. And like, you know, they were like, well, what did you do about it? I called the cops. I did what I felt bad for the dog. I mean, why bring your dog somewhere? You know you're going to Stop and Shop. Why bring your dog if you know your dog can't go inside? And then roll the windows up all the way. Why?
Okay. You saw this hot day. Dog's trying to get out. You snap a picture.
Yep.
Post it on this community forum, and you become banned from the forum. I'm trying to figure out.
Banned. And then the admin goes, you removed yourself. And I was like, why would I post that? People started to be mean in the comments, so I turned the comments off so that nobody could be mean, because that's my post. It's my opinion. It's wrong. I put it on there.
What were they saying?
They were saying, like, well, what did you do? The admin was, like, the worst one of it all, calling me a liar, all this stuff, saying that I posted the license plate. I was wrong for posting the license plate. I did nothing. I didn't call the cops. I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting the community's time. They were doing something at the green that day. Somebody commented and said, grow up, get down to the green. You know, I'm still banned from that community page. He told everybody, my mom's a part of it. So he told everybody that I took myself out.
And what was the community page?
Because I turned the comments off and wouldn't turn them back on. And he actually messaged me and was like, I want that post down and you wouldn't take it down. So you removed yourself. And I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. This is a living thing. Like, you're making this about yourself when it should be about this dog and this person who's leaving their dog in the car. It's not right.
That's
every day. But if it was a child, then it would be different.
That community farm, is it a community farm or is it a community farm for animals?
It's a community forum for, like, you know how, like, every town has, like, a Facebook where
everybody like West Haven the way it is.
Like, West Haven is West Haven the way it is.
Right.
Meriden has one. And the guy that runs it is a joke. Is an absolute joke. I don't
What's the Meriden page called?
Why? It's a community problem.
Ashley, you got to follow all these pages.
Oh, I'm up on it right now.
Oh, I mean, I don't want to say what page it is because I don't want to give it. He's probably listening right now because he works for the school system. So can I guess? So he's probably listening right now. And I don't want to give him the satisfaction, but this was a problem. Like, we were messaging back and forth. I blocked him, and he made another Facebook just to message me and call me a liar because I posted his dog.
I find that some of the people in these forums are crazy. No?
They're high on power.
This happened to us with the missing mom. We were in this page and we're all feeling the same thing, wanting the same thing, and that they all, you know, they get behind one person and this becomes, it's like, you realize we're all here for the same thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
I wanted that up there. I wanted to shame that person because I treat my dog like I treat my son. And
but you're just as crazy as them if you're on there wanting
you. And the admin was like, I want this down. Well, guess what? You don't own me. My Facebook is my Facebook. It's staying up. It stayed up. I don't know if he took it down, but he turned the comments back on after he removed me and then encouraged the entire page of 10,000 people to bully me behind my back so I couldn't even see it.
That's wild.
Messaging me, telling me that they were like going in on like my profile picture and stuff. Like, we live in such a sad world now. It's unbelievable.
You sound like you have a little energy about this.
And coffee.
I kind of agree with her on everything she's saying.
You kind of?
I'm really mad about this because I was made to look like a fool. He called me a liar. He was like, you took yourself out of the group.
I got you. No, I totally.
What does that have to do with the dog that was uncontrollably in this car for air? That has nothing to do with it.
Did I read something?
I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And when I say go, I mean I'm going to play a song.
Right.
So.
It was nice talking to you guys.
Nice talking to you.
Ashley, thank you for calling.
Yes.
I think the two Ashleys were about to go bananas.
I think so.
Feed off of each other's energy, and then there might be some like nuclear meltdown in Connecticut.
Yeah. We're going to start the Ashley page.
All right.
Yes, thank you.
Ashley, hold on. Let me grab your number. I like her energy. Oh, it's the perfect song to go into.
Yes.
You know, there's these stupid phones. Now you can get mad about everything everywhere.
Yes, you can.
Before, you could only get mad about stuff you saw or heard from friends.
Yeah. Under
pressure. I did nothing. I didn't call the cops. I'm wasting my time. Pressure. I'm wasting the community's time. They were doing something at the green that day. Somebody commented and said, grow up, get down to the green.
Very passionate.
I love her.
Very passionate.
She was at our last monthly meal.
Yeah.
She had the run-in with the mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Good person.
The other Ashley. That's what we're going to call her. Chaz like and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Phil, I got a project for you.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Project time.
Okay.
You're going to take that song Under Pressure, and then you're going to take a bunch of clips of all of us being angry.
Nice.
So, AJ will be easy to find.
Yeah.
You pick any day.
Yeah.
Me going crazy. And then Ashley, the other Ashley, and all different clips of anger inserted into the Under Pressure song. So it'll be our own special. What do you have there? You already have AJ's clips?
I'm seriously going to kill him. Just so you know, if you listen to it, as last you're going to hear it, Phil.
That was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
You were so angry yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
That you're not even pronouncing these words correctly. Listen to this clip.
I'm seriously going to kill him. Just so you know, if you listen to it, as last you're going to hear it, Phil. Because my mind's processing the words and like saying them immediately.
You're seething with such anger.
Yep.
You're about to explode with rage.
Angry. She asked me some more questions, and then she turned around. And she said, "She goes. By the way, she goes. Wasn't so eloquent at that moment.
No, that's all right. We knew what you meant. Chess and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. Oh, boy. So what's that Meriden page?
Do you want me to say what
it is? Yeah.
It's called Meriden Talks.
Meriden Talks.
And I got a text from a friend that said that there are some nasty people on there sometimes.
You know, you can't control that.
No.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's like a town hall meeting. Everyone's invited. And then it gets, you know, you get these brawls.
I mean, it happened to me. I got kicked out.
Of Meriden Talks?
No, of the New Canaan Missing Mom Forum.
Right. Yeah. I mean, people, I don't know. I feel like if you have a lot of time to manage one of these pages, there's something wrong. You know, and I mean no disrespect. You know, I'm sure some people, they just have boring jobs.
But, right.
You know, or they I don't mean that. I mean, they have time at work where they can do that, you know?
Yeah.
Good morning, brother.
Good morning. How you doing?
Morning. Excellent. Today is the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, so I thought we'd talk about that for a few minutes, talk about 25 years of Xfinity.
Sure. My pleasure.
What do you, as a concert promoter and organizer, is Woodstock remembered for this greatest rock concert on the planet, but really at the time it was considered a disaster? Like, have we lost the perspective of what really happened there or no?
Well, I think as far as the concert was concerned, you're right. I think it is probably the greatest rock concert of all time. The talent pool was pretty remarkable. The many of the artists were just breaking out. Crosby, Stills, and Nash, as they called it, but it was really Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, because Neil Young was on the stage, but he hadn't officially joined the band yet, or I think it was their second gig. The harmonies were right on, spot on, and it was the future for them for a good 40 years until they broke up unceremoniously because of David Crosby.
I love how you do that.
I think as far as a concert, yes, it probably was the greatest concert of all time. As far as a business, it was an absolute disaster.
Right. I guess that's what I was trying to say, and it was awkwardly worded. But, yeah, greatest concert ever, but in terms of the business part of it, it was a disaster on every level or most levels?
Most levels. The only level it wasn't a disaster is they made a decision to film it. Otherwise, it was on every level it was a disaster. But the fact that they filmed it, and they got permission from all the bands to film it because the bands were not smart enough to realize what they were giving away at the time because they didn't get anything for it. All they did is, you know, if a band got $7,500 for the night, they had the promoters had the right to film it. And the film was an enormous success. And the artists did not even share in it. So it was something that the business learned because I tried to get permission to film Watkins Glen in 1973, which was really the next big upstate New York rock concert, rock festival, and I only had three bands to deal with, and all three said no because they realized what happened with Woodstock filming and they didn't want to give it away.
Gotcha. Wow. The band's pretty amazing, the list here, but it seems really stacked on day three. The schedule, was that a nightmare keeping the schedule at Woodstock? It didn't seem organized in that area.
No, you had, Jefferson Airplane playing Waking People Up in the Morning. That's one of the classic parts of the film where Grace Slick gets up there and says, good morning, everybody. Well, no artist wants to play to a crowd that's first waking up. But everything had gone so haywire that the artists never played on time, and so the schedule, which we considered most important when we did Woodstock 94, was key. We wanted to end at midnight, give everybody a good night's sleep, wake up sometime in the morning, start the music around noon, because, you know, we didn't want the audience to get agitated or annoyed or unhappy or cranky or anything like that, because we had 3 days. I'm talking about Woodstock 94. We have 3 days of people living in a field, and we knew that if they got cranky or upset, it could be trouble. So
right.
The scheduling was most important. It was also important as far as who follows who, what artist follows who. Woodstock 99 screwed up. They put all their active heavy bands at the end, and it just got the crowd so riled up that it was one of the causes of the riot of Woodstock 99.
It seems like that if you look at the Woodstock 69 lineup, the first day is light, and I mean no disrespect to those artists, but not giant names. Day two, and I'm leaving some out, but day two had Santana, Canned Heat, Mountain, The Grateful Dead, and CCR. Great day. And then day three, they rolled out all the big names. The Who, Jefferson Airplane, Joe Cocker, Janis Joplin, 10 Years After, The Band, Johnny Winter, Sly and the Family Stone, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. That's a pretty incredible day three. But now you have Jimi Hendrix Monday morning at 9 a.m. when most people left.
Yeah, exactly. That was not the plan. That was the scheduling mess up that they did. And you're right. They built it up, which is what you want to do. It's no different than an opening act opening for a headliner. You want to build the anticipation. You want to build the enjoyment of the artists. And although you're right, day two was great because Mountain was very big at the time, and a couple of the other artists you mentioned were very, very big at the time. But overall, you really want to make it as strong as possible during the day on Sunday, because you want people to hang around on Sunday for many reasons. Now, back then, it wasn't the reason that we do it now. Back then, we don't want people leaving and missing parts of the show, so we always make towards the end very good. But what I think the mistake that artists make today and festivals make today, but I don't think they make it as often, is they put big acts on at the end. I think they should have small acts on at the end. I think that people should start to leave around 9 o'clock at night and filter out. It's much more pleasant that way, much less traffic that way. I've said to Leonard Skinner and a bunch of bands, don't play your hits in the encore. 25% of the audience is on their way home. You know, do what the Beach Boys always did. Play Johnny B. Goode. Play one of the great classics and in their encore. And I think that festivals today sort of slow things down on Sunday nights, which is different than what you saw at Woodstock.
I just I picture the people who were there, left early because they had lives Monday morning.
Yeah.
They don't know what they missed, and they see the movie and see they missed Jimi Hendrix in one of his most famous performances Monday morning at 9 a.m. It just seems like a massive miscalculation.
Well, back then, you got to remember this. You know, I've looked at the stage of Watkins Glen when we celebrated our 46th anniversary a couple of weeks ago, and somebody sent me a picture of from the audience looking at the stage, and the roofs were really primitive at that time, and they couldn't hold the water. Now the roofs we have on stages at festivals, unless it's lightning, you can play. We don't want the audience to get hit by lightning. Back at Woodstock 69, without looking at the picture, I would imagine the roof was pretty primitive. And when it rained, we had to stop the show because of getting electrocuted
right
on stage. I had to do that at Dillon Stadium a couple of times because my roof at Dillon Stadium in Hartford was primitive at the time also. Now that doesn't happen. Now we have roofs that can withstand the rain. It's just a question when we tell people to leave the show, it's only because we're afraid of lightning hitting the fans on the lawn.
And you were almost killed by lightning on stage, right? Someone took a hit, and then they later died from it.
Well, I wasn't on stage. I was in the pump house behind, and it's still there. I walked over there because, you know, they redid Dillon Stadium, but they kept the pump house right behind the where the stage was, where the microphone was, where you can make announcements. And, yes, I was hit. The pump house was hit by lightning. It went right through the pump house. We were standing in a puddle. The guy who was literally holding the microphone, he had his brains jarbled and never recovered. I got knocked over. Some people might say my brains were jarbled also at the time, but I would disagree.
Nah.
But nonetheless, lightning now is the great fear of outdoor concerts.
It's the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, and I told Jimmy we'd play a game here.
Right.
I didn't tell him what it is, but I'm just going to – this is how we'll play, Jimmy. I'll mention an artist who played Woodstock, and you tell us if you have a story on that person or artist. And if you want to pass, you can take a pass.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Well, we know you have a lot of dead stories, so you want to start with the dead?
Sure. You know, I've told many stories on the dead. There are many that I remember, and there are many that I actually don't remember. But the one that I do remember many I remember. You know, I talked about the fact that we thought of Watkins Glen at Dillon Stadium the year before when Dickie and Jerry were on stage together in a surprise jam. But I got thrown off the stage, and it's in a couple of the dead books back at Watkins Glen. I was 23 years old when I did Watkins Glen, and I climbed up on the stage to do something, and I don't remember what it was. And Steve Parrish, who was the road manager for the Dead at the time, became Jerry Garcia's manager eventually. He looked at me, didn't know who I was because I'd only done a few Dead shows, and thought I was a young kid sneaking on stage. And he literally picked me up. He's a big fellow. And threw me down 14 feet off the stage. Thankfully, it was very wet and muddy. I didn't hurt myself too badly. But that is a memory that is forever envisioned in my mind. And it's in many books of the Grateful Dead, he tells that story.
I was flying.
Do you know who I am?
Jimmy Joplin!
Janis Joplin.
Janis Joplin, I only promoted one time, and it was in Columbus, Ohio, when I was still in college, and it was a supreme disappointment. She was so screwed up drug-wise, and I wanted to go meet her because she's iconic, and I go backstage, and I couldn't understand a word she was saying, whether what drugs it was, I really don't know. And I said hi, and then she went out on stage, and she sucked on stage, and I never saw her again.
Hmm. And then she died. Right.
And then she died, right.
Right.
Sly and the Family Stone.
Sly and the Family Stone was going to be my third concert I ever did, and of course he didn't show up, which was his M.O. at the time.
Oh,
sorry, Sly.
And I was freaking out because I didn't know what to do, and thankfully I rescheduled it, and I went backstage to thank him, and there was a giant mayonnaise bottle filled with white powder.
Hmm. Was it sugar or
coffee creamer?
Coffee.
Well, considering
creamer.
He was pretty undependable, I don't think he was juiced up on sugar.
Gotcha.
So, but I never seen anything like that in my entire life.
Wow, cookies! Should take that jar.
That's a big jar.
Could pay for a festival.
Let's go with Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Well, one of my favorite acts of all time, and I never let my personal feelings about artists affect my judgment of their music, and I still listen to it, but David Crosby and I have had fights, just about physical fights, but Graham Nash has stepped in between because I sued them at one time for not showing up at a concert, and he has never forgiven me, and that was 1974 or 75, and even 32 years later, when I had my Mohegan Sun, he did not want to even acknowledge my presence. So he's got a long memory for some things. But he's getting his back right now.
Yeah, he is.
Yes.
In many ways.
Big time.
We have some questions for Jimmy Copley coming in over the Facebook Live page. You want to turn the music down? Thank you.
Yep. It's nothing about Woodstock. They want to know, when is Metallica going to come back to Connecticut?
Well, they're not even planning a tour at the moment, but hopefully when they tour, I'll be able to get them back. They haven't played Connecticut, I think, since 1997, if I remember correctly, when
wow.
I did my last show at the XL Center. So it's been over 20 years. But they don't, you know, they played stadiums last time around, so
right.
We don't have a stadium big enough.
Was there so there's nothing announced now. And then Volbeat was the other band being asked.
Volbeat.
No news on Volbeat.
No news.
You know, there's been a lot of news out of New Haven. It was that police shooting, and thank God Captain Duff is going to be okay.
Yes.
So when I see New Haven and then I see the mayor in a headline, I think, let me focus on this story. What's happening in New Haven? Did they catch the shooter, the person who shot the police officer, the person who murdered somebody? Did they catch that person?
Did they find him?
No. New Haven mayor announces new Sanctuary City executive order.
Really?
Like, it seems like there could be other things you do this week, and then maybe do that one next week.
Yeah, is your priority list upside down by any chance?
Yeah, they're instituting a don't ask, don't tell, don't arrest approach to immigration enforcement.
Hmm. That's important right now with the police officer was shot.
Right, there's a police officer laying in a hospital
bed. What do we need to do first? The immigrants! Okay, sure.
Right. It just seems like maybe Yeah, wait, and
it's still going to be there a week from now. Catch the guy first. It's still going to be there.
Right.
Still going to be there.
Right. Immigration's not going to like. There's not going to be a big.
Yeah. Oh my God! I waited 2 days. Look what happened. Oh my God!
It's been a problem for a long time. It could be fixed next week.
Exactly. It's not going to go anywhere.
You look at your schedule. Oh, I had that thing I was going to do with the. Maybe we'll just wait until next week so I could focus in on some important stuff.
The more important thing, like, you know, one of your officers was shot.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. You know, work on that one first.
So what happens then now? Now, if you go to a sanctuary city, and let's just say you're whatever you want to call it, but you're not legally in the country.
It's like being on base. You know, they can't tag you out.
Yeah,
I'm on base. Oh. I'm on base. You can't get me. I'm on base.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're all on base.
So you don't get anything free.
Right, but they just can't take you away. They can't arrest you. They can't take you away because you're on base.
So it's like, man, if you get free stuff, can I leave and then come back? And
yeah, right, yeah, exactly, right.
Yeah, I want to work this out.
Take residence, yeah.
I wouldn't mind doing that.
Right.
Oh, I get it.
The Queso and Paco show.
Okay, so they just can't, bang your door down, rip you out of the house.
Exactly, right, because you're on base.
Okay.
Yeah, so you step off base, and you're screwed. You
step off base.
Right, don't step off base.
So you're not going to get anything for free.
Right. Well, I'm sure there's a couple of things.
I like free stuff.
Well, free is great, yeah.
Well, I'd like to know how I could sign up for that.
Maybe get, a New Haven t-shirt. Yeah. Tony Harp's picture on the back.
I Heart New Haven.
Yes.
Right. I feel like that there's a company... Probably with the logo, I Heart New Haven.
Right.
Yeah, I think they have the pizza slice instead of the heart. It's like Pizza New Haven.
Right. Oh, do they?
I think so.
You want a Pizza New Haven?
No, I want the whole thing.
Yeah, no, I want to be able to walk out and come back in and get free stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
That'd be cool.
Wait a minute. You can't take that free stuff. You're here illegally.
But I'm wearing a fake mustache.
But wait, I walked out and I came back in.
Exactly. I want to take away.
I'm not here illegally.
Free stuff. I want free stuff.
I want free stuff.
For God's sake, I want the t-shirt and I want the matching pen.
Imagine that in a concert. You walk out and you come back in. It's like, you got a ticket? Now, come right in.
It's okay.
All right, then.
We're a sanctuary concert.
Yeah, let's give you some shirts.
We're a sanctuary concert. You. Come right in. And here's everything free.
And then one more local story and we'll move on to Woodstock.
Okay.
This is one of those... Here's his position now, and then we'll tell you what his position was just a couple months ago. Governor Lamont. I don't think anyone reminds him of, like, what he just said or what he said 3 months ago or what was in his budget.
Right.
What I say now?
I'll read it to you, Governor.
Oh, okay.
By the way, you're not even here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Right, you're on vacation, Maine.
Should I get on the phone?
You're in Maine.
Right.
No, just right there is good. Go ahead. Can you call in?
Sure, absolutely.
Right,
he's on the main
Governor
line, sir.
Forgot he's not here.
What's the area code there?
I don't know. It's on the main line, apparently.
Oh, this is good. We're going to talk to the governor. Is the governor calling the hotline?
Because he never calls here. This is really a treat. Hopefully, he's going to call.
Calling the hotline?
He knows the hotline number, too. Wow, his peeps are on
top. Hi, hotline.
Yes, hi.
Hey, Governor Lamont?
Yes, that's me.
Hey. You're in Maine.
That's right. Oh, yeah, vacation land.
Right.
Oh, it's fantastic up here.
Hope you're enjoying your vacation.
Oh, my God, so much. We're having tea every morning, and we got some lobster sliders so far this morning with a beautiful little butter sauce on it.
Those are the best.
It's fantastic.
It sounds like a working vacation.
That's exactly what I'm calling it.
Yeah, his jaws are working.
You know, we're having a tax-free week.
Yes.
That's right.
Right? Does that start next week? I think it starts next week.
I think it's next week, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think.
But do you remember what you said about tax-free week just like yesterday?
I'm certain it was something fantastic.
Yeah.
What, the sliders?
Let me quote you.
Mimosa?
Which part of what I said?
This is Governor Lamont yesterday. This is you.
Okay.
Quote, having this tax-free holiday helps working families stretch their dollar a little bit more during the busy back-to-school season while giving businesses an extra boost to their bottom line.
Yeah, that sounds like something I'd say.
Yeah. So, well, you said that yesterday.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I was here yesterday. I've had a couple of lobsters since then. So.
Were you hitting the head, sir?
Right.
Like recently?
Right. So Max maybe wrote that for you and attributed it to you.
Well, I think we share the same sentiments on that. I think I would agree that everything that Max said there is something that I'd agree with. It sounds in line with what this office wants to do in the state of Connecticut. And back to school is an important time of year. We got to make sure that everybody's getting what they need and books and pencils and all that good stuff. And if we could help some businesses along the way, I think that's a good thing.
Now, how does tax-free week help businesses?
Well, it helps business because, people are on vacation, obviously. You spend a lot of money to go on these vacations. When you come back, going to school is very important. And if we can get those folks maybe a little bit of a break at the stores, and if we can get people going in the doors.
So people aren't paying taxes, so they make a break because they're not paying the tax. But how does that help them?
I'll tell you, Chaz, I think we've done a study on this. We only spent a few million dollars on this one, but I think what we've seen is when you give the taxpayers a break.
I like how the governor makes a quote. He doesn't even really know how business works.
Like a regular governor.
It's like people are going to buy this stuff anyway. They're going back to school.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Right.
So exactly.
For helping the bottom line of a business. How?
Exactly, right.
Well, the consumers love it. If the consumers are having a good time, the businesses are obviously having a good time. That's what we're trying to do here at the state of Connecticut. We're trying to get businesses and consumers on the same page so that everybody's having a good time.
Hey, Governor, Phil's got a question for you. Phil, go ahead.
I'm waiting.
Coming.
Yeah.
It's left.
All right. But, Governor, I just want to remind you that in your budget, you were going to eliminate the sales tax-free week.
Well, I think, that's something that we'll continue to look at.
looking at a lot of things.
Having a hard time following.
Let me let you get back to your lobster.
Right, yeah. Your slider's getting cold.
All right,
Thank you, Chaz and AJ. I'll give you a call when I get back in town. It'll be great to come down and, see you.
Bring us back t-shirts.
I heard you're ready to come.
I want some t-shirts.
Let's get you in here.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Governor. Enjoy your vacation.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys.
Wow.
It's always nice to have the governor on the show.
Wow, he finally called you.
All right.
Took a while. Like all of a sudden like that, instantaneously.
That's right. Yep. It was excellent. All right, let's talk to Peter out of Vermont. Peter, you saw Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock?
Yeah, I did. With my best friend there. We drove up Thursday night, and after it started raining on Saturday and everything got kind of all messed up, I heard Jimmy talking about the covers, but all I remember is they had tarps they were putting over everything.
Okay.
And they're putting them over the towers because we were right down near the stage.
I think I remember seeing a picture with tarps on the towers.
Yes.
Yep, and they had tower because a lot of people were climbing the towers to listen to the bands and everything. But we barely slept at all for 4 days. We just kept crashing for a couple hours and getting up. And then our friends left on Sunday who drove us up there. So we were like, well, we're sticking around for Hendrix. And nobody thought he was going to play. And then, like Jimmy said, Monday morning, 9 o'clock, he comes on. And we were just like, started playing the national anthem. We were like elated with that show. It was crazy.
It was the ultimate alarm clock, basically.
What's that?
It was the ultimate alarm clock.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. But we still got my tickets to the show. I got articles from the New Haven Register because I grew up in Connecticut.
How many people were there to see Hendrix? Would you say, let's talk percentage because I know headcount would be difficult. Would you say it was like 30% of the crowd?
I'd say probably about 20-30% of the people that were left.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Because even the mud was still around. I mean, you're slipping and sliding everywhere.
But yeah, it's Monday morning. Most people, they have to be somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, because we watched the lines on Sunday, the traffic going out. And, I mean, it was just like Thursday night coming in, because Thursday night when we drove in, we had left Connecticut around 6 o'clock and run the New York State Thruway about 10 o'clock, and all of a sudden it was my turn to drive. All you had to do is sit there. And we didn't get into the area until about 5 a.m. And then it was the same thing Sunday night. We just watched everybody just bumper to bumper all day Sunday.
Man.
Leaving the place. But it was a great show.
How far away from the stage were you when Hendrix was on? I'm guessing now that most people left, you were able to walk closer. Did you?
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole time we were probably, I'd say, 50 feet from the stage.
Damn.
Jesus. Wow.
That's amazing. Yeah.
You can count his nose hairs.
Yeah, I'm envious right now.
Yeah.
So in the tickets, you know, we bought our tickets in advance, and it was $6 per day, $18 for the three-day ticket.
Wow. One of the few who purchased a ticket.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right.
Everybody else walked in.
Yeah.
Peter, you were telling me that you made some money back at Woodstock. How did you do that?
Well, on Friday, we went up to the vendors up on the hill to get something to eat and drink, and they're pretty much running out of everything by noon, 1 o'clock.
So, on Friday?
On Friday. So I borrowed my friend's van. I drove into Bethel, and I bought 10 cases of beer and brought the beer back, and everybody was coming over to me like, hey, will you sell me a beer? Will you sell me a beer? And I'm like, give me a dollar, I'll give you a beer. So the beer was gone probably in no time, and probably within a few hours. But I was trading beer for some guy. He looked at me and says, look, I have nothing. He says, can you help me? And I said, sure. I said, give me something. He picked up a stick out of the mud, and he handed me the stick.
Wow. Really?
Nice.
Yeah. And I was like,
no charge.
And I still have that stick.
No charge.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's cool.
I still have the stick. And actually, this is how screwed up I was back in the day, because we didn't do any drugs. And Gracie Slick came on afterward and said that she was the only person at Woodstock that didn't do any drugs. And I looked at my friend Ken, and I said, well, that's not true, because we didn't do any drugs. So,
and Don DeVoe didn't either. So
they used to put together a list of four. In New Haven called Barry's Limited. And I had just bought a new pair of loafers, and by the time these guys picked me up, that's all I had on. So I wore those, and they got ruined in the mud and everything, and I still have those shoes.
Really?
Yeah, I was thinking about donating them to the museum.
Oh, interesting.
That's cool.
Can you send us a picture of them? I'd love to post it today. The stick and your loafers.
You know what?
Yes.
I couldn't do it today because we're actually on our way to Manchester, New Hampshire to see Donald Trump.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
So, but I could dig it up at some point and do it.
All right, perfect.
Excellent.
Thank you, Peter. Have you ever seen someone do something stupid and wish something bad happened to them?
Yes.
Well, not bad, but, you know, like...
karma.
An eye-opener.
Karma.
Yeah.
You want to see them hit by the boomerang called karma.
Exactly, yes. Right.
Then you're going to love this clip. A girl posted a TikTok video of herself touching a ghost crab at the beach. And let's play the clip, and then we'll, if you can't figure out what happens, we'll tell you.
Guys, should I touch it? I'm going to touch it. All right, please don't murder my finger. Oh, his eyes are creepy, dude. It's a ghost crab.
Yeah, I want to hear another minute of her just screaming bloody murder.
Right, run to the beach. Ah! The thing sucked right. Ah! Right.
So it obviously murdered her finger then.
You heard it clamp down, man. That sucker.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Is it? Let's see.
That was her. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
It, like, leaped out. Boom.
What does a ghost crab look like?
Guessing a little like crab with a little white sheet over it.
Two little eye holes.
Right, yeah. Look outside any crab shack. There's tons of ghost crabs out there. Yeah, thanks a lot, you bastard. Just a bug, right? Yeah, drawing butter myself. Really, Peter? Woo! When you're sleeping, I'm gonna attack your private parts, you bastard.
Mm.
That's the Coney Island ghost crabs, by the way.
Can I hear that again?
Mm-hmm. The whole thing?
Yeah.
Guys, should I touch it? I'm going to touch it. All right. Please don't murder my finger. Oh, his eyes are creepy, dude. It's a ghost crab.
Yeah.
Crab's got claws.
Yeah. They do.
He's got his grip.
I love it.
Yep.
I was just looking up a picture of a ghost crab. They have the eyes way above the body.
Right.
That's like, what he meant by creepy eyes.
Yeah, wasn't that like one of the characters in SpongeBob?
Oh,
yeah.
These are like white and yellowish.
I don't know.
Oh, his name is Mr. Krabs.
Right.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Right. There you go. Right. You got him in the bathroom.
Right. So there's SpongeBob, right? And then where does SpongeBob work? At the Krabby Shack or something,
Krabby
right?
Shack.
Krabby Patty.
Yeah.
Krabby Patty.
Krabby Patty, that was it.
No, Krabby Patty's what you eat.
Well, I don't watch the show every day, Ashley. Why don't you enlighten us?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
I don't either. I'm just saying.
So what's it called, though?
Krusty Krab. The Krusty Krab, I think.
Yeah, see?
Yes.
That sounds right.
Right, the Krusty Krab.
Is anybody in there now? Jingles?
Yeah, really. Get your microphone.
She know anything
there.
About SpongeBob?
She must. You must.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they SpongeBob works at the Krusty Krab, and they eat Krabby Patties.
Krabby P.
And then the rival is the Chum Bucket.
Right.
Right, that's what we nicknamed Scar.
Right.
Who's that starfish that reminds me of?
Patrick.
That's Patrick, yeah. Always wearing those little, like, those jams.
We need a Patrick.
Yep, we do. We've had several Patricks.
There's that crazy southern squirrel, too.
Sandy? Sandy Cheeks?
Sandy Cheeks? Sounds like a dancer's name.
Sandy Cheeks. That's not someone you want to get a lap dance from.
No, you do not. No, she chased your pants.
Sandy Cheeks.
Oh, my God. She scraped me.
You know who Patrick reminds me of? No one's going to get this reference, though.
It?
Does anyone remember the show Coach?
Yes.
What's his face?
Dauber?
From Poltergeist?
Oh, Craig T. Nelson.
Craig T. Nelson was in it.
The actor, yeah.
But yeah, but the dumb guy.
Dauber, the tall guy.
With the blonde hair.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Patrick.
Okay, yeah. I can see that.
And no one gets that but me and AJ.
Right, thank you. I'm sure there's five people out there did.
Yeah, five people.
You're right, thank you for that.
Dr. McHugh is on. You went to see him yesterday?
Yes, I did.
I guess you were so late that and you got pulled over that I don't think he pulled a prank on you.
No, because I was like flustered.
I asked him to.
I entered babbling.
Hey, doctor.
Am I caller 10?
Yes, you are.
Yep.
Congratulations.
You win Patrick from SpongeBob.
Yeah, I saw AJ yesterday.
And I saw him too.
And how are his feet?
His feet are pretty messed up.
Thank you.
Really? Actually, just one foot. Just as I believe it was his left foot.
My right, left AJ? Foot, yes. Yeah.
Right foot's okay. Left foot's pretty messed up.
So surgery?
Well, we already did that once. At this point, the surgery he would need next would be a joint replacement.
What's wrong with it?
In my foot.
What's wrong with what?
She said, what's wrong with it? Like, why?
So he has osteoarthritis of the first metatarsal phalangeal joint.
Was that English?
Arthritis. Arthritis.
Oh, I know Arthur. I know arthritis. He's Greek, yeah. Yeah, it's arthritis, yeah.
So we're trying to figure the cause of the arthritis. People have been saying that's your flip-flops. Dr. Chaz sent me a whole article about flip-flop injuries, and I actually don't think it's from your flip-flops.
What do you think it's from?
About maybe 4 or 5 years ago, you did that let's walk a mile in her shoes, and you walked in 5-inch stilettos.
You walked in those 6-inch. They were dancer shoes, yeah. And that was about 7 years ago, yeah.
And
yeah,
how and many you, years in a row did you do that?
I did like 6 or 7 years in a row. The first year was a stripper's shoes, and each year I did, I did the part.
Right.
You know, I wore women's shoes.
Yeah.
Like dressy, going out
yeah,
shoes.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Super.
Yeah, I could have worn like fuzzy slippers like most
Saturday
of the guys.
Saturday night, come hither,
yeah,
heels.
Yeah, I didn't punk out, no.
Yeah. You think that's what it was, Doc?
No, I think so, because it bent his toe back further than it should have been bent back, as women know, and it caused all this spurring and arthritis of that toe. He said he only wore it one day a year, but I've heard people see him out in public with shoes on.
Right. Yeah, I was at your house. Yeah, I went to lunch with you and them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you should have spent the extra $50 for the expensive one.
You could have taken them off me and walked me home. That'd be nice. Just so you know.
Yeah, that's what I thought too when you said, because I did that event. I thought, no, you've worn
well that
them a
that
lot.
That first one that I did, I was in such pain, I wanted to take them off and throw them in the water.
Oh.
And Richard Blumenthal, who at the time was the attorney general, said, "If you throw those in there, I'm going to have to charge you with pollution." That was his joke, Eli.
Well, that didn't mean you have to wear them the next year.
No, I wore them the next year, then I gave them away. I forget who has them now.
Wow, you got a problem.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And lately, because the Challenger has a clutch, driving the Challenger has been killing me because I'm constantly using a clutch.
Right.
So
now what does he do, Doc?
Well, I mean, I actually told him he's too young for joint replacement because those joints usually only last 10 years, and you don't want to have to go through that, you know, twice. So, you know, I gave him a shot of cortisone yesterday. That should last him about, you know, a year. And I have kind of the same problem. I get a shot in my big toe once a year right before golf season. So he can come in once a year and get a shot of cortisone.
Oh, nice.
For some reason, it hurts right now, though.
It still does. That's called rebound.
It's still hurting.
Well, you didn't pay your copay.
Gotcha. Right. So if I bring the $20, the pain goes away. Or you don't fill it with water? It's cortisone with a K.
Right.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks, Doc.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hope you get better.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
What were you going to say?
I have some audio of AJ's foot being ground with a grinder.
Oh, yeah.
This is from the operating room?
Yeah, I recorded it because I was not put under. They numbed my foot out, and they put a little, like a blanket over me so I couldn't see. But I was recording the sound of them. They opened my foot to the bone, and then they used a grinder, like a Dremel grinder, to grind the bone.
So we're going
to
hear the sound.
This sound, my bone being
is
ground.
Is Dr. McHugh running the grinder?
No, it's not Dr. McHugh. He does not do operations on friends. So he had me go to one of his associates.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and so this is the associate grinding my bone with a grinder. Didn't feel a thing.
And you're awake.
I'm awake the whole time going, this is amazing. I'm wanting to watch. I'm like,
are you smelling like smoke?
I smell smoke. Yeah, I'm like, it smelled like someone.
Is there like dust in the air, like bone dust in the air?
It smells like grinding concrete. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there was a little mist in the air. Yeah.
Yeah. That was your bone.
That was my bone.
The bone and the wheel.
Yep.
Oh, God. That's so gross.
I remember the first time we played it, I saw your neck, Phil's neck, and Pam's neck disappear. Like, all your heads went right to your shoulders. I want bones. Beg pardon?
Can you play that again?
Yeah.
And that's the chick surgery, right?
Yeah.
And I say chick, I mean, whatever.
Women's surgery.
You know
yeah.
what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, when you wear heels for...
It's very common.
Right.
Very common surgery.
Yeah, but only one foot got it. The other one's fine. The right foot's fantastic. No problem. Never had a problem. The left one took all the brunt.
That's weird.
Maybe I lean to one side when I walk. I have no idea.
Yeah.
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 Yep. I don't know.
Wow.
Yep. So, yeah, now they got to put like some kind of like a new joint in there and everything. So, they're like, maybe I wait like 10 more years to start. I'm like,
yeah.
If it hurts next year, I'm getting it done. I don't care.
There's some joke about you leaning left, but.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.